This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. How State Senate President Martin Looney shapes Connecticut politics.
Looney is, he borders on being an ideologue at times, but he is also highly pragmatic.
That's Mark Pazniokas, Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. He's done a behind-the-scenes look at how State Senate President Martin Looney has used patience and persistence to shape Connecticut politics. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hamilton, executive editor of the Connecticut Mirror. Many news organizations let you read a few articles for free each month, and after that, they make you pay a monthly subscription fee. Not CT Mirror. We don't believe in charging people to stay informed. We don't ask people to enter a credit card number to participate in democracy. If CT Mirror provides value to you, however, we do ask that you consider paying for it through a tax-deductible donation. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page.
Hello, Paz. Your article gives us some fascinating insight into what makes Senate President Marty Looney tick. Considering he's probably the longest serving lawmaker in Hartford right now, and also one of the most liberal. So what is it that drives Marty Looney?
So spending time looking at really what motivates Senator Looney has been, I think a very interesting undertaking for me, and hopefully the story that was produced people will find as interesting. Everybody knows certain things about Marty Looney. As you said, he is very liberal. He pushes the envelope all the time on a more progressive tax system, on all kinds of protections for workers and the ability of unions to organize. He was a force, not the only one, but behind the minimum wage law that got Connecticut from $10.10 an hour to $15 in a few short years. And then now has forever indexed it to basically a consumer price or employment cost index.
Which takes it out of the legislature. So it's now automatic.
Yes, it has. Exactly. It has, barring legislation that will take it out, it has really taken the politics out of changing the minimum wage from year to year.
Now, one of the things he's been pushing over the years has been a millionaire's tax. How does that square with his relationship with the governor right now? How do they work that out? Because I know that the governor is against any more taxes on...
I don't think they do work it out. Here's the other thing about Senator Looney. He plays the long game. It's not an exaggeration to say he has been working to change the income tax since the moment he voted for it 35 years ago as a flat 4.5% tax on all income. And in those intervening 35 years, he has had significant success. The top rate is now 6.99%. The governor a couple of years ago, with the support of Senator Looney and other lawmakers of both parties, managed a tax cut that really lowered the rate for the lower two tiers of that rate. So low income and middle income people pay a far lower rate. So he has succeeded in making it more progressive, but Marty Looney is never quite done with this. There's always a next step in his view. It both promotes exasperation and admiration.
I have seen the governor roll his eyes sometimes when Marty comes up with, we've not done enough.
Right. But again, Looney is, he borders on being an ideologue at times, but he is also highly pragmatic. And what I mean by that, take the earned income tax credit. He started pushing for a state earned income tax credit when John Rowland was governor. And he didn't get very far with John Rowland or Jody Rell, his Republican successor. But, in the first year of the Malloy administration, they put an earned income tax credit on the books. It was fairly modest. The state was under great fiscal distress then. As things improved, you know, Marty Looney would come back to it. And in partnership with Governor Lamont, whom he disagrees with many times on these things, they succeeded in raising the value of that earned income tax credit. It's now 40% of the federal credit. You know, so that's an area in which he has been successful by just staying with it, staying with it, staying with it. The governor, I do not see the governor bending on the question of doing what Marty would like to do, which is adding an additional 1% tax on capital gains to be paid by the highest earners, you know, as you said, a millionaire's tax. That has come out of the Finance Committee before, but it's not going to get very far with Ned Lamont as governor. So that's the kind of push and pull you see and will continue to see. The other thing that's interesting about Looney is some of these pro-labor things, there's a huge body of stuff, and he has never really taken credit or authorship really for any single thing. But as Senator Julie Kushner, the Labor Committee co-chair, says, Looney was in the middle of it on all of it, you know, and I'm talking about things like paid family and medical leave, about Connecticut's paid sick days law, which was originally passed under Governor Malloy. It was very weak, very limited. It was just really to get the idea on the books. But under Governor Lamont, and again, in partnership with Senator Looney and others, that has become a universal mandate, really, on all private employers to pay a certain degree of paid time off. And that was really a significant thing. Another thing is the so-called captive audience meetings. Now, as we explore in the story, you know, Senator Looney was very much influenced by his father, who was a union organizer at the Winchester Firearms Factory in New Haven. And they had some pretty heated fights over organizing. And, you know, he suffered personally. I mean, he was given a different job, which was more physically difficult for him. But the captive audience bill, it banned employers from requiring that their workers sit for certain meetings, and mainly when there'd be an organizing effort, you know, they could require employees in the old days to sit and listen to, this is what's going to happen if you guys vote to organize. So,
but it's also interesting that you say his parents played a big role in giving him those liberal credentials, both his mother and father.
His mother and father were from County Clare, Ireland, and they emigrated to the United States. They met in the United States, not back in Ireland. But the father arrived in 1927, the mother in 1929, just in time to experience firsthand the Great Depression. But everything that followed. She was active when she lived in New York and was a hotel worker. She was active in her union. You know, Looney's father clearly was very active in his. So, you know, they became, once they could, became citizens and could vote, they were big backers of FDR, of the New Deal, the Democratic Party in general. And they were both pretty devout Catholics, although the mother, who passed away, you know, some years ago at the age of 81, she was a secondary but important character in my profile of Senator Looney, because she was somebody who was a boat rocker. She was somebody who was a devout Catholic, but yet an anti-cleric. She was so offended that when she was still in Ireland, that the local parish pastor spoke against the IRA. And you got to remember, you know, this was just a few years after, you know, the rebellion. And in fact, one of her cousins was shot to death by the Brits. And she was so offended by his comments against the IRA. And it really carried through the rest of her life. And Senator Looney has some funny stories about how that would show itself.
I think a fascinating story there is that his mother absolutely refused to vote for an Irish candidate for governor, Mescal.
That's a story that could be in a movie, that she's at a wake, right? What's more Irish than that? She is at a wake for a family uncle, and she's approached by another fellow Irish woman, a ward leader in New Haven, because Looney's mother's maiden name was Meskel. It was spelled differently than Tom Meskel, who was elected governor in 1970 and went on to a great career as a judge. But so she was approached because, again, you got to remember in those days, there was still these tribal politics, you know, Italians versus Irish. New Haven was this great battleground on that kind of stuff. And, you know, this woman had a group, Democrats, for Meskel. And she said, look, he could be your cousin. You should. And she said, I wouldn't give a damn if he was my brother. He's not a Democrat. I'm voting for the Democrat, who was an Italian, you know, Emilio Daddario.
Well, Fass, thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this. And it's, like I said, a very fascinating insight into one of the longest serving lawmakers in Hartford right now, Senate President.
Thank you.
Martin
I hope people
Looney.
Enjoy it. Okay. I had fun reporting it.
Thank you. Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.